Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Look and See audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
Episode 5, Swagcast, Haunt of Horror.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries, starring Boris Karloff. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host. Welcome again through the squeaking door to another session of mystery, murder, and madness. Oh, excuse me if I don't get up, but I'm all worn out. Yes, I've had a hectic few days with an old friend who just blew into town. He's one of those earnest souls who insists on doing everything for himself. Consultations with the monument makers, the grave diggers, fittings at the coffin makers. Yes, quite a busy body. But then we only die once, you know.
These friends of yours, they're such unhappy people. They never seem to enjoy life. Never seem interested in any of the quiet, peaceful, good things of life. For instance, what's the use of telling one of your spooky characters about Lipton tea? They wouldn't like it. But other people enjoy that brisk Lipton flavor. They settle back in an easy chair and say to themselves, Lipton certainly has a rich, hearty flavor. Never the least bit wishy-washy. No siree. But would a ghost appreciate Lipton's? Indeed he would not. And it's lucky Lipton's is made for real live folks who like good things, or else it wouldn't be the world's largest selling brand of tea.
Mary, you've been very hard on my friends. Very. And they won't like it. But then most live folks don't enjoy being scared to death. And that's just what's going to happen to you tonight. Our story is called The Corridor of Doom. It's an original radio play written by Robert Newman. And our star tonight is a man who gives even me the shakes. The famous star of stage, screen, and radio, Boris Karloff. Have you thought about death lately? Not the fact that it's inevitable, that it must come to all of us someday, but rather how it will come. Do you think of it as a sleep and a waking, of a sudden transition from one state of being to another, or to a state of non-being? John Clay was one of those people who never thought about it at all, until he found himself walking down that dim and endless passage which... But suppose we let Boris Karloff in the role of John Clay tell you about it himself. If your blood pressure will take it, put out the lights and come on a little trip down the corridor of doom.
When I woke up, I had no idea of where I was or how I'd gotten there. I was lying on a hard white bed in a clean white room. There was a dull pain in my abdomen. Touching it tentatively, I felt a bandage. So that was it. An operation. But for what? And where was I? At that moment, the door opened, and she came in. Good afternoon. Or is it evening?
Whichever you prefer. It doesn't matter.
My name's Clay. John Clay.
Yes.
And yours?
You can call me Nada.
Exactly. Where am I? In what hospital?
It has no name.
What? But that's ridiculous. I'd like to speak to Dr. Rogers. If you'll get him for me, please.
There is no Dr. Rogers. At least, not here.
Then who operated on me? And for what? Listen, I'm not a well man. I've a very bad heart. Will you get someone who can talk to me?
If you wish. I'll call Dr. Stone.
A chill crept through my bones. It wasn't cold. It was fear. Unreasoning and abysmal fear. The door opened again, and there stood a heavy-set man, his hair flecked with gray, and with him, my son-in-law, Alex Bartlett. Alec, I can't tell you how glad I am to see you.
Hello, Father.
But why are you standing out there? Why don't you come in?
Oh, no. No,
I shouldn't advise it, Mr. Clay.
And why not? And why... Oh, was it you who operated on me?
Yes. I'm Dr. Stone.
Why wasn't Dr. Rogers called in? He's taken care of me for years.
There wasn't time. It happened during the night. Acute appendicitis. And even as it was...
Even as it was? What? And why are you dressed that way, Alec? All in black?
Well, it's customary. After all, you are my father-in-law.
Of course I am, but... Now, look, Alec... You've got to stop being so mysterious. You know about my heart, what any sudden shock will do.
I don't think you need worry about that anymore, Mr. Clay. And as far as the mystery is concerned, this initial period of adjustment is always a little difficult.
Difficult? Do you realize what it's like, lying here helpless, completely isolated, as if I were all alone in the world? Or isn't there someone I can talk to? Some of the other patients?
Not just yet. When the time comes, you'll meet them.
But, look, Doctor, I can't stand much more of this. I can't. If I don't find someone who really cares about me, who'll treat me like a normal human being... My dog. How about my dog?
What do you think, Doctor?
Yes, that's possible. We'll see what we can do, Mr. Clay. Come along, Bartlett.
Goodbye, Father.
You'll be back, won't you, Alec?
I don't know. I'll try, but it's difficult. Very difficult.
Then don't go, Alec. Don't leave me here all alone. Come back. Come back.
I waited and watched. Watched and waited. Then the door opened and there was the doctor again. There was a small, thin-faced man with him this time, wearing the white coat of an orderly and carrying a black box with a handle.
My dog! You brought my dog!
All right, Martin. Give it to him.
Yes, sir.
Oh, thank heaven, now at least. Come on, Kerry. Come on, boy. Get up. Wake up. Why, what's the matter? Kerry! He's not asleep. He's dead.
You wanted him, Mr. Clay.
But why didn't you tell me? When did he die? How?
How old was he?
11 and a half. Maybe 12.
Pretty old for a dog. That's probably why he could come.
What do you mean? What are you trying to do to me? Don't you realize I'm a sick man?
Easy, easy, Mr.
Clay. I won't take it easy. I won't stay here another minute. I'm leaving right now.
Sorry, but I don't think we can permit
it. No, well, we'll see about that.
You're getting yourself all upset for no reason, Mr. Clay. Making it very difficult for the rest of us. Martin,
yes,
you'd better let me have some of that bottle there. About 10 cc's.
The red medicine?
Yes.
I...
I don't want any medicine. I won't take it.
Now, please, Mr. Clay.
I won't, I tell you. No, I don't want the... It's awful. Salty.
It tastes like... Yes. But I think you'll find that it will make things much easier for you. Very much easier.
You're doping me up. That's what you're doing. Putting me to sleep. You think that when I wake up, I'll forget about everything?
Yes, Mr. Clay. You'll forget about everything. Everything.
I was somewhere deep down under the earth. It was a passageway, stone flagged and with stone walls, and I was walking slowly down it in my bare feet. I could feel the chill of the cold stones through the thick layer of dust. The passageway stretched ahead of me, endlessly. And suddenly, I noticed that there were doors set into the walls on either side, closed doors. And on each door there was a name. Abel. Abercrombie. Abington. Where was I? What was this place? What was behind those awful, ominously closed doors? Something seemed to be drawing me on down the terrible passageway. Addison, Agar, Alan. I could feel the cold creeping up my legs, higher and higher, my heart pounding faster and faster. Then suddenly I knew where I was and where I was going, knew what was waiting for me there ahead of me down the passage. No, exerting all my will, I turned, tried to go back. With a roaring in my ears, I was falling through the darkness. Falling. When I opened my eyes, I was in that cold, white room again, clutching the blankets with trembling hands.
How do you feel now, Mr. Clay?
You cried out, sir, as if...
A dream. The most awful, horrible nightmare I ever had.
A dream? The doctor will be very interested. Would you care to tell me all about it?
Oh, I don't even want to think about it.
It was about your former life?
Former life?
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I meant... Here, where are you going?
To get my clothes, to get out of here. I won't stay
but
here.
But you can't go. You can't, Martin. Help me.
Please, let go. Don't you realize that if I do stay here, if I dream that dream again... Listen... I was in a passageway, an endless, eternal passageway like a corridor of doom. It stretched on and on to infinity with doors, closed doors on either side. And on each one of the doors in alphabetical order, there was a name. The name of all those who had died since the beginning of time. I was walking down that corridor on my bare feet and... Why? Why are you looking at me that way?
You mustn't talk about that. You mustn't, do you hear?
But you asked me.
You didn't dream that dream. You couldn't have. And you've got to get it out of your mind. We'll help you. We'll give you a massage. That should make you relax. The alcohol, Martin, right over there.
Yeah, a massage. You think that'll help?
If it doesn't, we'll call Dr. Stone. Try something else. Martin.
I see. Now what? What are you staring at?
Your feet.
On the soles. Dust. Thick, gray dust.
Dust. Like the dust in the passage, the corridor of doom. And that means... It wasn't a dream. It means... I was really there.
Dirty feet on those nice, clean sheets. No wonder our friend the nurse seemed so upset. Or was that the reason? Maybe she was just disappointed that he still hadn't told her about his operation. Yes, that always has them in stitches. Great big stitches. Like the ones they take in a shroud.
Mr. Host, I'm afraid I just can't believe this story. I can't believe that it really happened.
Who's that so, Mary?
You think Mr. Clay got that gray dust in his feet because he has feet of clay?
There you go again. Always looking on the discouraging side of things. I really do believe I'd rather talk to cheerful folk, like those nice young men and women who sang that new Lipton Tea song when I was at the studio. Sing a song of Lipton's. Yes, that's the way people ought to feel about tea. Because, you know, when you're feeling discouraged or tired, there's nothing quite like that brisk flavor of Lipton tea to perk you up. Yes, brisk means that Lipton's is never wishy-washy. No, no, no siree, as they say in the song. So when you've had a busy afternoon, or maybe when friends drop in for a little talk, pour yourself a cup of cheer with brisk-flavored Lipton tea. It's got a special flavor that always tastes like home. And it always tastes like more, too.
Well, now I think it's about time to take another little walk. Yes, down the corridor of doom with our star, Boris Karloff. And by the way, don't be concerned about getting too tired, because you'll only have to walk one way. That's the nice part of a trip like that. You don't have to worry about coming back.
I lay there, staring down at my feet. No, it had not been a dream. For there, on my feet, was the thick, heavy dust from the corridor of doom. I had been there, walking down its awful silence, not in my mind, but in the flesh. My heart clenched like an icy fist that I threw the blankets aside, started to get up.
Mr. Clay, what are you doing? Where are you going?
Let me go.
But you can't get up. You can't leave.
Oh, let me go.
Martin, quick, help me.
Please, Mr. Clay. Oh, for heaven's sake, let me go. Don't you realize what this means? If it wasn't a dream, and if I stay here, go down to that horrible place
We've
again...
We've got to make him quiet down. Some more of that medicine, Martin. Oh. Another 10 cc's.
Right.
Oh, no, no more of that. It's here, Mr. Clay.
You must take it. You must. It will make you sleep. Sleep so soundly that you won't be able to go down there again.
No, but...
All right. Give it to me.
Here. You stay here, Martin. I'll go get Dr. Stone and tell him.
Better, Mr. Clay? I don't know. Color. Dark red. The taste. It's like...
Yes, I know. And he makes me sleepy. My eyes get heavy and...
Have you been here for a long time, Martin?
No, not long.
What is it like outside of this room?
It's strange. Like no place else.
And the other patients, what are they like?
They're strange, too.
Listen, Martin... I'm a rich man. You're the only friend I've got here. You've got to help me.
Whether you're rich or poor doesn't matter. As for helping you, that's what I'm here for.
You've got to stay here. Watch me. Every minute. My heart. I don't think it'll stand much longer.
My first sensation was one of cold, numbing cold, creeping up my limbs. I reached for the blankets, couldn't find them. Then I opened my eyes, and I was there again, back there in that awful endless passage, that corridor of doom. The same stone wall, stone floor, covered with a thick layer of dust. The same doors with a name on each one, on both sides of me. But now... Now I was up to the bees. That one there, Barber, next with Babbitt, and then Backer. I tried to cry out, but I couldn't utter a sound. I tried to stop, check myself. My muscles didn't respond. Slowly, heavily, I continued walking on down that endless passage. Past Badger, Baffin, Bagley, past the bees and towards the seas. Towards a door... with my name on it. My heart pulsed, pounding with terror. My breath rasped in my throat. Convulsively, I clutched at the walls, forced myself completely around. Then, as if I were fighting against a roaring gale, I drove myself back. One step I took,
two, three. As I stumbled, I was falling again. Falling through darkness, complete, absolute, unending.
Even before I opened my eyes, I knew where I was. Back in my room, the sheets crumpled in my sweating hands. I lay there for a moment. I knew that this was my last chance. I slipped out of bed, tiptoed to the door of the room, opened it a crack and peered out a hospital corridor. And sitting at a desk halfway down it, the nurse. Could I slip past her? Then on a table next to the door, I saw the telephone. A telephone! Now I could get help. Reach someone who would save me. Take me out of this place. Picking it up quietly, I dialed my daughter's number. Alec Bartlett's wife.
Hello?
Jane? Oh, thank heaven.
Hello?
Jane, it's your father. Listen, you've got to help me. You've got to come and get me. I'm at the hospital. Alec knows where.
Hello, is anyone there?
Yes, can't you hear me? Didn't you hear what I said? It's your father and... Jane! Hung up. I heard her, but she couldn't hear me. Something wrong with the phone, her phone. I've got to get hold of somebody. Somebody, but who? Dr. Rogers? Oh, might be out. And if they come in while I'm phoning... Oh, I know, of course.
Police headquarters, Ryan speaking.
Hello, police. This is John Clay of Riverside Road. I'm at a hospital, I don't know where.
Hello?
Can't you hear me, officer? For heaven's sake, listen. It's a matter of life and death. John Clay at a hospital. My son-in-law, Alec Bartlett, can tell you where.
Hello?
Officer, officer, listen, don't hang up, don't.
Oh, nuts.
Officer, officer, hello.
Anything the matter, Mr. Clay?
Dr. Stone, your telephone, there's something wrong with it.
No, Mr. Clay, there's nothing wrong. Not with the telephone.
But I tried to make two calls, two different numbers, and...
I know. And you should have known. Nurse, Ollerley.
Should have known what? Why couldn't they hear me when I could hear them? Why?
Yes, Dr. Stone.
Will you put Mr. Clay back into bed?
No.
I'm awfully sorry, sir. I only went out for a minute.
No.
Come on, Mr. Clay,
No,
please.
Leave me alone, please.
Mr. Clay,
go.
Please.
No, you're struggling. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I know. Doctor, I won't have to go back down there again, will I? Down to the corridor?
That's not up to me. All right, nurse. I think we're ready for another dose. The final one.
Yes, doctor.
No, doctor. No, not that red medicine. Not again.
I'm sorry, but you've had a lot of time. All the time we can give you.
All right, Mr. Clay.
No, I won't take it. You know what it means, doctor. I go back down there again to the corridor. It'll be to the letter C. To the place where my name is.
If he won't take it by himself, perhaps you'd better help her, Martin.
Yes, sir.
No, Mr. Clay. I won't. Again, I knew where I was before I opened my eyes. I could feel the dust under my bare feet and through the dust the biting chill of the cold stones. I was there, back in the corridor, walking down its silent length past the blank, closed doors. But the names on the doors, now they were all C's. Cabot, Cadden, Cahoon. On I walked, the beating of my heart, the pounding of my pulse loud in my ears. On down the passage, no longer even trying to fight against what I knew was inevitable. On past Cameron, Chelsea, Chiswick, and then, suddenly, terribly, one door. A door with my name on it, gaping, waiting for me. I tried to stop, to turn, but my legs carried me forward. I was but two doors away. See into it now. See that it contained nothing. Absolutely nothing. Not even a coffin. Just stone walls and a flat stone slab. I was turning to step over the threshold. I made a last convulsive effort. Merciful heavens, help me. Save me.
Martin. Pick him up.
Yes, sir.
Is it all over?
Hello, Bartlett. In at the death, eh? I'll see if there's any pulse, of course, but I should think it is all over.
It is, Stone, but not the way you think.
What? Clay! He's not dead.
No thanks to you. All right, get him up, both of you. Here, Mr. Clay, let me help you.
It's all right, Martin. I'll be fine from now on.
But how?
Don't look so surprised, Alec. Mr. Martin is a detective. I hired him some time ago. You see, I had a feeling that something was wrong when that railing broke accidentally, and I took that bad fall. So I decided I should investigate.
You can't prove it. You can't prove anything.
The first results of Martin's investigation showed me what bad financial shape you were in. And it was then that I realized that you had actually been trying to murder me to get hold of my money. So I faked that story of having a very bad heart.
You mean it?
I thought it would give you the idea of trying something more subtle and less dangerous. And it certainly did.
But you still can't prove anything, not a thing.
No, don't you worry about that. Don't forget. Come back here, Bartlett.
You'll never have a chance to prove it.
Come back, Bartlett.
Oh, you shot him, killed him.
Well, I couldn't have. I fired up in the air to get him to stop.
Come on.
I don't understand it. There's not a mark on him. But he is dead.
He was the one who had the bad heart. That's what gave me the idea of pretend. Good heavens, look.
At what?
This hallway was supposed to be the corridor of doom. When I reached the door with my name on it, I was supposed to die. Look. Look at the name on that door there. The one right next to him.
Bartlett. His name. So what?
Nothing, Martin. Nothing at all.
Now, where do you think old Dr. Stone got the idea for that little alphabetical graveyard? That's right, from me. Huh? You don't believe me? Then come on home with me tonight and I'll show you the one in the cellar of my house. What's more, I'll show you a door and a neat stone slab with your name on it.
Nonsense, Mr. Host. Mr. Clay just explained that the whole thing was a hoax. And I'm not going to sit here and hear you say otherwise.
Well, then don't sit. Stand up and we'll take a walk, Mary Bennett. Yes, back to your name. Back to the bees. Baker Bartlett Bennett.
You don't scare me.
Yeah? Well, how would you like it if we went to the L's and found a door marked Lipton?
Oh, why, that's fine. Inside, we'd find a wonderful, friendly beverage, Lipton's, the tea with the brisk flavor. The tea that's welcome at all hours of the day. Yes, the largest selling brand of tea in the whole world, Lipton tea.
And now a word of advice. If you should wake up tonight with a sudden chill, find yourself walking barefoot down a dusty stone corridor with doors on both sides of it, don't get excited. Just insist on a doom with a view. By the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Whistling Legs by Roman McDougall. Yes, and next week's Inner Sanctum story, directed by Hyman Brown, and brought to you by Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup. Next week's story is about women. Yes, two women who like to be treated rough. Choke them to death, shoot them, murder them. They'll love you for it. And who do you think is going to be their boyfriend? That's right. Boris Karloff. Boris Karloff will be with us again next week because who else could love such women? So, if you're in a tender mood, tune in next Tuesday. Until then, good night. Pleasant dreams.
Folks, it's wonderful how quick and easy cooking can be these days. I guess some of you remember when it used to take half a day to make a pot of chicken noodle soup. But now we have Lipton's Noodle Soup Mix. You might say Lipton's takes no time at all to prepare, and yet it has a fresh cooked chickeny taste, a real old-fashioned homemade flavor. Yes, and it's brimful of tender golden egg noodles. Lipton's is grand for quick meals, and it's also a perfect beginning for the most elaborate dinner. So don't forget to serve Lipton's Noodle Soup. And don't forget to tune in next Tuesday night for another Inner Sanctum Mystery.
Good evening, dear listeners. I am Barnabas Collins. I hope you will forgive the intrusion, and I hope that you have been enjoying Broken Sea Audio Productions' OTR Swagcast. Please allow me to introduce the next haunting episode of Dark Shadows.
It will soon be dawn at Collinwood. Soon faint rays of light will appear on the horizon, dispelling the darkness. One girl has known what it is to live in darkness, what it is to find a moment of light, only to be plunged into darkness again. For one who seems to be her friend has hypnotized her, and the moment of truth, which could have been her salvation, has been denied her.
I don't understand this.
Understand?
A moment ago, Maggie, you told us that you remembered everything.
I did?
Well, don't you even remember telling us that?
No, I don't.
And you don't know what you meant by it?
No.
Maggie, what do you remember?
Saying goodnight to Pop and going to bed.
And then?
Somehow I got here. What am I doing here? How did I get here?
Are you sure that you don't know? You don't remember any of it?
No.
Look, take your time, Maggie. Try to think.
I told you everything that I remember. Saying goodnight to Pop and going to bed. That's the last thing I remember.
But, Maggie, that was weeks ago.
Weeks ago?
Don't you remember anything that happened in between?
I don't remember anything. Anything at all. Or am I just imagining it?
No, Maggie, you're not imagining it.
I've really lost whole weeks out of my life. Weeks I can't even remember.
Maggie, you disappeared well over a month ago.
It's impossible.
Unfortunately, dear, it is possible.
Sorry. I'm afraid I don't know you.
You don't recognize me?
No.
I'm your doctor.
Doctor?
You were ill for a while, Maggie. We sent you to a private sanitarium up north, a place called Wyndcliff. You were Dr. Hoffman's patient.
What was the matter with me?
You were disturbed for a while and needed treatment.
Disturbed? You mean I was crazy?
Well, disturbed is a more accurate term.
How long was I that way?
A few weeks.
And before that?
Well, we strongly suspect that you've been kidnapped.
Kidnapped?
But fortunately, Maggie, you managed to escape from wherever you were confined, and your father found you. That was when we sent you to Wyndcliff. We decided to pretend you were dead in order to protect you from the maniac who'd kidnapped you, whoever he is.
If indeed she was kidnapped, I had doubts.
Everybody thought I was dead.
Well, until tonight, everybody in Collinsport thought you were dead except your father and Joe Haskell. You created quite a sensation, believe me, and when you walked in there this evening.
Can't believe this is happening.
Maggie, can't you remember anything after you disappeared? Not a moment of recollection?
No.
Please, concentrate, Maggie.
I can't remember anything after that night that I just went to sleep. Everything else is a blank.
Maggie.
Oh.
Oh, how are you, darling? Are you all right?
Huh? I'm fine. Fine.
Burke told me what happened. I was worried sick about you. And why did you run away from the hospital?
I don't know.
Don't know?
I can't even remember being there.
Can't remember. She can't remember anything after she disappeared, Sam. And before that, she remembers everything. Her memory's perfect. You're feeling all right, are you, darling?
I'm fine, Mom.
I gave her a thorough checkup, Sam. Physically, she's in fine condition.
Except that I lost my memory. It scares me. Where did I go? What did I do?
I don't know, darling. But you're here now and you're safe. And that's what matters the most. Dr. Hoffman, would you step outside for a word with me, please?
Of course.
I can't figure any of this out at all.
Well, in what respect?
Look, one minute Maggie says that she remembers everything. The next she can't remember anything. It doesn't make sense.
Well, perhaps what she meant by remembering is just what she said.
All she remembers is she talked to her father the night before she disappeared. I'm sure that she meant more than that. You know, for a minute there, I think she remembered where she was when she'd been kidnapped. And I think she remembered who kidnapped her, too.
If so, she repressed it immediately.
What exactly did she say to you when you were alone with her?
Oh, she said she was terribly frightened and I had to calm her down.
And that's all that she said?
Yes, that was all.
Darling, you sure you can't remember anything past that night?
Yes, Pop.
You've got to try, for your own sake.
Everybody tells me that, and I tried. I just can't remember anything.
Now, try to remember what happened on that last day. Something may come from it.
I remember that I had a date with Joe.
Go on.
For some reason, I couldn't make it.
You weren't feeling well.
That's right. Feeling strange all day.
I came to your room just before you were going to bed. I asked you if you'd like me to bring you a glass of milk.
That's right. I remember that.
What is it?
I went to sleep after that and...
Oh, what is it?
I think I remember something.
What?
I had a dream. A terrible dream.
Tell me about that dream.
I dreamed that there was somebody in the room with me.
Who?
It was a figure. Standing in the darkness. And I was afraid.
Go on.
It stepped toward me and into a pool of moonlight. I saw who it was.
Who was it?
I...
Who was it? Who?
I don't know, Pop. I don't know.
You've got to know. You've got to remember.
I can't.
Maggie!
I can't, Pop. Please don't make me go on like this.
Sorry, my daughter. It's okay. It's okay. Just relax.
I'm tired. Can't we please go on?
Sure. Dave. What is it, Sam? Maggie's exhausted. Can I take her home with me now?
Well, I don't see why not. But I would advise you to call the sheriff and have him station men around the house.
I intend to.
Well, I'll phone Winthrop and make the necessary arrangements for Maggie's going back tomorrow morning.
Going back? I have to go back to the hospital?
Well, I think it's advisable.
Why? I don't have to go back to a hospital. I feel fine.
Of course she is. You said so yourself, Dave.
Yes, I did. Now, look, Julia, I don't see any reason why she has to go back up there.
Maggie still has suffered a severe loss of memory. She needs more treatment if her memory is going to get better.
Can't she get that here? You said yourself you were going to stay on in this area for a while, Julia. Can't you treat Maggie here?
I think she'd be safer at Wincliff.
But not now. The whole point of our having taken her there was to, well, to fool people into believing that she was dead. Now everybody in Carlsbad knows she's alive, including, probably, whoever it is we're looking for.
I don't want to go back. Please don't make me go back.
Don't worry, darling. I won't. Maggie's going to stay here with me. I insist on it.
I don't agree. I still think she'll be safer at Wincliff.
She'll be safe enough here. I'll get the sheriff to put a 24-hour guard around the house. Nobody can get her.
I take it I still have your permission to continue Maggie's treatment?
Of course. If you do it here.
Maggie, there's one thing you must remember. Your father and Dr. Woodard are the only people that know that I'm your doctor. No one else in town knows. It must be kept a secret.
Why?
Because I'm trying to uncover some information that would be very important for you.
Information?
Well, that's all I can say at the moment. But there's something you've got to do for me, Maggie.
What?
When I come to your house to visit you, if anyone's there, you must remember not to say that I'm your doctor. You must say that I'm a writer who's writing something about your father's painting. Do you understand?
Yes.
You won't forget?
No.
Good.
Well, can we go now?
Come on, darling. Good night, Dave.
Good night, Sam. Good night, Maggie.
Certainly hope that that poor child is out of the woods at last.
She may be safer than you realize.
What do you mean by that?
Someday you'll understand. Perhaps very soon.
Milk or something before you go to bed?
No.
What's the matter, darling? You have a strange expression on your face.
I feel strange.
How so?
I feel as if I've been on a long trip someplace. I can't remember where.
Well, you're here now, and that's all I care about. Sheriff, put out there. He's been assigned to the house. Now, if you hear or see anything strange, you just give a yell and he'll be in here in 10 seconds flat.
Feels odd knowing that somebody has to guard me all the time.
Just a cautionary measure. Just to make sure you're safe.
I know.
Who could that be in the middle of the night?
To see.
Oh, you don't know how good it is to see you.
away from you for so long.
You have. But you're back. And you're never going away like that again.
Joe, I don't know where I was. I don't know what happened to me. I can't remember anything.
No.
You do.
Yes, Sheriff. He also told me that you do remember everything that happened before you. You disappeared.
But those weeks in between, they're complete blank. It's as if it never happened. I'm scared, Joe.
Don't be scared, Maggie. You're here now. You're safe. And we're going to see that you stay safe.
Why did you ask if I remembered you?
Well.
Well? Was there a time when I didn't recognize you?
Yes.
When? When did it happen?
When you were in the hospital.
What was I like? What was I like?
Well, you weren't yourself, Maggie, but you are now.
I was crazy, wasn't I?
I didn't use that word.
Well, that's what I was.
Maggie.
Well, if I didn't recognize you, then I must have been out of my
Maggie,
mind.
You were sick for a while, and you're well now. Now, that's all that matters.
Joe, where do you suppose I was when Pop found me? Do you really think I was kidnapped?
That's the only explanation I can think of.
Who would have done that? Who would want to have done that?
I don't know. But we'll find him. He'll never get to you again, whoever he is.
To you. She's forgotten everything you did to her.
Forgotten?
I hypnotized her.
Hypnotized her? Was that necessary?
Quite necessary. She was about to recall the entire experience. I got to her just in time.
But before you got to her, what did she say?
Fortunately, nothing that would lead them to suspect you.
Are you certain?
Quite certain.
Well, this hypnosis, how long will it last?
Perhaps indefinitely.
Perhaps not.
I've made arrangements to visit Maggie regularly as her doctor. I'll make certain she doesn't remember anything. As long as you continue to cooperate with me.
And if I don't?
Your safety depends on me.
You seem willing to go to great lengths to continue these inquiries.
I'll do whatever I need to do.
That seems to be anything.
Anything short of sacrificing a human life. You must understand that you mustn't do anything to harm Maggie Evans. She can't hurt you.
But this hypnosis, what if it doesn't last? What if she comes out of it?
I told you. I'll make certain she doesn't.
But what if she comes out of it when you're not around to stop her?
Highly unlikely that that will happen.
But if it does?
It won't.
I only have your word for that.
I know what I'm doing, and you must trust me. And no harm must come to Maggie Evans.
And if something should happen to Maggie?
I'll expose you. You must cooperate with me. You have no choice.
Apparently not.
Good night.
Good night.
Night, Maggie Evans. But I can't take a chance on your science. Tomorrow night, you must die.
Exist is to expose oneself to the momentary dangers that surround us. We can never be sure when these perils will arise, for jeopardy does not respect time. And we must be prepared for the encounter.
Get this into you.
Oh.
Might help to pull you through.
Thanks, Sam. It's been a long night.
Here. How is it?
Well,
I didn't put too much feeling into it.
I can tell.
Well, can I fix it up?
No, I think you have already.
Well, she's home.
Yeah. That's what worries me.
Worries you?
Well, Sam, you know, the doctor said we may not ever know where she was or what happened to her during that time.
Well, frankly, I don't care anymore. Just so she's here.
Well, I almost feel the same way. But we have to keep in mind that whoever the kidnapper is, if he's still around, he might not know that Maggie can't remember him. I'm just afraid he might try to get to her. Very much afraid.
one thing. I can discuss it with the sheriff. He might have some ideas.
We'll have to watch her closer than before.
Yeah, that's a question of knowing who to trust.
That's always a question.
The only thing I can suggest is that, maybe you ought to move away from Collinsport.
Away from here? Where?
I don't know. Anywhere. Anywhere that would be safe for her.
Well, much as I'd hate to see that happen, it might not be such a bad idea.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, morning, Maggie.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, sweetheart.
Oh, thank you.
I see that the Collinsport Coffee Shop is holding an emergency session.
Join us if you dare.
Well, just to show you how glad I am to be back, I'll even drink some of Pop's coffee.
Ah, that's a sacrifice I wouldn't ask anyone. That's unfit for human consumption.
Well, then I'll make a pot that is. You both look very tired.
Well, we've been sitting around for a while.
All night? You've been sitting around all night?
Yes, we've been talking.
About me, I suppose.
I can't think of anything I'd rather talk about.
Well, I wish you wouldn't worry so much. Whatever happened is past. Now I'm back home and I feel great.
You look fine, I gotta admit that.
Now, I can't believe that I was gone for such a long time.
Well, you were, you can be sure of that. We felt every minute of it.
Well, the important thing is that wherever I was, I'm back, and everything is going to be just like it was.
Yeah, sure, of course.
By the way, I should speak to my boss at the coffee shop and see if I can get my job back. I could start back to work tomorrow.
No. Well, I mean that you can't do that, not just right now.
Why not?
Well, that's too soon.
What am I going to do all day? Hang around the house?
Well, we were trying to figure that out.
Planning my life, huh?
Oh, something like that. And Joe and I thought it might be a good idea if we, a trip or something.
What? Oh, I see. Big trouble.
Maggie, you know, I've never been very good at lying to you, so, frankly, I'll tell you what the outlook is. You were kidnapped by someone unknown to us. Someone whose identity might never be known. Now, you were carefully hidden, making him think that you were dead. Now that news is out that you're alive and that you're back here, well, it's possible that he might be around. If so, it's also possible that he might want to
finish what he started?
Yes.
Something we've got to face, Frank.
I know that some kind of malice exists, but I don't feel afraid.
We don't want you to be afraid. We just want you to be very cautious.
I intend to pick up my life exactly where I left it. And I hope you both will join me, because I refuse to live in fear. Now you can all hover over me like the royal guard and be delighted to play the queen. Hear you come up.
I can be very quiet.
Oh, so I see. Oh, would you like to come in?
Yes.
Well, come in then.
Thank you. This is your room?
Yes, it is.
It's very pretty. I like it.
Thank you.
Are you feeling better now?
Why, yes, I am. Thank you.
I was worried about you.
Oh, that's sweet of you. But don't be worried. I'm fine.
I missed you.
Did you?
Yes.
Why?
Well, because you're my very best friend.
I am. Well, did you just move into the neighborhood recently?
No.
Well, where do you live?
Oh, way over in a big house.
Well, what's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah?
Yes. You have to say you don't remember me.
Oh, well, I'm sure I do, Sarah. You'll have to forgive me just now. My memory isn't what it should be.
You play with me?
Oh, all right. For a little while.
Here, cat.
Got it.
Will you sing with me?
Sing? I don't know if I'm in good voice.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, my fair lady. Come on, sing.
Okay.
Take the key and lock her up.
Take the key and lock her up, my fair lady.
Wow, I haven't sung that in quite a while.
But you sang it with me lots of times.
I did. Now, when did I ever sing it with you?
When you were sad. I used to come and play with you, just like now.
Where did you see me?
In a room. You used to call me and call me.
Little girl. Sarah, do you know anything about what happened to me?
Can you tell me the truth?
What truth?
Do you remember me?
The honest truth? No, I don't.
You've forgotten me, just like everybody else. You've forgotten.
If you'd just tell me some more.
I even gave you my doll so you wouldn't forget me. But you forgot me anyway.
Doll? Your doll? Is this yours?
Yes, and I want it. I want it. Only my doll remembers. Only my doll.
Sarah, where did you go?
Sarah? How does that look?
Oh, Pop, you're doing good work.
Now I've missed your criticism these weeks.
You'll get too much of it now. Pop, do you have any idea who this little girl is?
Not the slightest. I tried desperately to find out. Now, this town isn't so big that I don't know everybody in it. Now, there are a few Sarahs, but they don't fit that description.
You must belong somewhere. Are there any new families that have moved into the neighborhood?
Well, I've checked on all the new families, and that kid doesn't belong to any of them.
See, that isn't her name. She likes to play games. Maybe she made the name up.
Mm-hmm. Possible. Plus, I sketched her, and no one recognized the sketch.
We've got to find her. She knows something about me.
Well, you know, maybe she's making the whole thing up.
I don't know. Pop, please find her for me.
You know I'll try.
Thank you.
Oh, Mr. Collins. Hello. Good evening, Mr. Evans. I wanted to inquire about your daughter.
That's very kind of you.
Please come in. Thank you. How is she?
Oh, she's in excellent physical condition. Splendid. I couldn't be happier for you.
Well, she's raring to go. Can't keep her down. Wants to go back to work. Take up exactly where she left off.
That's a rather remarkable recovery. Has she any idea what happened to her?
None whatsoever. I mean, she can't remember a thing.
Nothing at all?
Well, she remembers going to sleep and waking up like it was the next morning. Everything that happened in between is a total blank.
But she can't remember anyone who was involved.
No one. We're completely baffled.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. And then again, perhaps it's just as well that you don't know. There may even be a safety factor in it.
Yeah, well, the safety factor is what concerns us most. Now the news is out that, she's back. I'm afraid that whoever that guy was, if he's still around, they try to get back at her.
Well, that's possible, but I hope not.
Well, he may not know that, the memory of the incident is completely gone.
Gone?
Forever? Doctor thinks so.
I wonder if it would be possible for me to see her. I'd like to extend my good wishes.
Why, sure. I know she'd be delighted to see you. Maggie, Mr. Collins is here. He'd like to see you.
Well, hello, Mr. Collins.
Good evening, Miss Evans. I've been rather anxious about you.
How sweet of you to care.
Do you feel up to a short visit?
Of course, as long as it's not too short. Please sit down.
Thank you. I won't tax you with a long conversation.
Oh, there's nothing I'd like better than a long conversation. I'm sitting here quietly all day.
Can I get you anything, Mr. Clark?
No, thank you, no.
If you're going to be here for a few minutes, I am... have an oil paint I'd like to deliver. I wonder if you'd mind keeping Maggie company.
Not at all. I'd be very pleased.
Okay, Pop. The Royal Guard deserves a break.
I won't be too long.
Oh, take your time. I'll take very good care of your daughter.
I never thought I'd see you in the role of a babysitter.
Well, I'm happy to do anything I can. If there's anything you need, please don't hesitate to ask.
Why, thank you. Just being home again with Pop and seeing Joe again, that's enough for me.
I'm told that you remember nothing of what happened to you.
Well, if it weren't for the calendar, I wouldn't believe anyone. I've never been asked so many questions in my life.
What kind of questions?
Well, like the question about me going up to Eagle Hill Cemetery. That's incredible. Can't imagine why I'd go up to that cemetery. I don't have any relatives buried there. Yet that's where they say that they found me. That's frightening.
Well, perhaps they think the mention of it will help your memory come back.
Well, I know that's what they hope. But so far, nothing they say seems to penetrate my thick skull. Nothing seems to register. It doesn't make any sense. No, I haven't changed any. I'm still the same way I was that night I disappeared.
Well, I wish they wouldn't subject you to so much cross-examination.
Oh, they mean well by it. I think they're about to give up. All my answers are the same.
And how do you feel about it yourself? Aren't you curious to know what happened?
I'm very curious. But then again, I look in the mirror and I see myself the same way I've always been. I still make the same bad joke.
I'm happy to know that that lovely disposition of yours hasn't been affected by the experience.
Well, I feel a little like a medical specimen with the doctors checking me and then my loss of memory.
Do you think that if you saw the man who kidnapped you, that you'd recognize him?
I don't know. I hope so. I think if someone did something to me, he ought to be punished.
Well, he should, by all means.
But then again, I sometimes think that it all come back to me, piece by piece.
What do you mean?
Well, strange thing happened today. Something so strange, I don't know if I can explain it.
What was it?
A little girl came into my room.
A little girl?
It's a very strange, sweet little girl. She seemed to know something about me, had spent time with me, wherever that was.
Strange. What did she tell you?
Well, she told me that we used to play games together. She sang London Bridge is Falling Down.
London Bridge. How old was this girl?
8 or 9. She wore a strange old-fashioned dress.
Old-fashioned dress?
Mm-hmm. Well, the style of it. It's the same one that she wore when my father saw her.
Your father?
Yes.
He saw her, too.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, she was the one that helped him find me. We don't know who she is or where she comes from.
Do you know her name?
She said her name was Sarah.
Sarah.
I think she knows something about what happened to me during that time. If only I could find her, she might be able to explain. Perhaps I could remember.
That's a possibility. The possibility that the man responsible for everything could be apprehended. Something will have to be done.
Shadows is a Dan Curtis production.
A brilliant morning sun warms the walls of Collinwood, and on the surface, all is peaceful and serene. But within the great house, there is one who senses danger in the peacefulness of the morning sunshine. One who senses approaching terrors that are as yet unseen and unknown.
Where's Vicky?
Oh, she went down to see Maggie.
Oh?
She was going to ask your permission, but I told her I felt sure it would be all right.
Oh, of course. It's wonderful about Maggie, isn't it?
I can hardly believe she's still alive. I'm so happy for Joe.
According to Vicky, she's perfectly all right now, except for that lapse of memory.
I know. And there hasn't been an attack in town for some time now. So maybe the maniac who kidnapped her has gone away.
Let's hope so.
We really don't have any reason to be as scared as we used to be.
You say that as if you didn't really mean it.
I guess I'm just being silly.
About what?
I keep getting the oddest feeling, Mother. And I don't know why.
What kind of feeling?
The feeling that something terrible is about to happen.
Like what?
I don't know what it is. I just know it's going to happen. And soon. Very soon.
Why are you talking this way?
I don't know. As I say, I'm probably just being silly.
Carolyn. Darling, your hands are as cold as ice.
Are they?
What is it, darling? What's troubling you?
I told you, I'm not sure.
Well, Carolyn...
Were you expecting someone?
No.
Hello, Liz.
Bert, hello. Come in.
Thank you. Is Vicky here?
No, she's down visiting Maggie.
Actually, it's you I came to see.
Oh?
I want to talk business with you. I'm interested in buying a piece of property you own.
What property is that?
It's a house called Seaview, several miles down the beach.
Seaview? Yes, I know you looked at it the other day. I can't imagine why you're interested in buying it. It hasn't been lived in for years. It probably isn't even habitable.
Well, all the same, I'd like to take another look at it, unless you have some objections.
No, we have no use for the property. I see no reason why we shouldn't sell it to you if you want to buy it.
Good.
I'll get the keys and the deed. They're in the library. Oh, you can take a look at the place now if you want to.
Fine. Hello, Carolyn.
Come on in. I heard you and Mother talking. You're not actually thinking about buying that old house, are you?
I'm interested.
But why? That place is 1,000,000 miles from nowhere.
I don't mind that.
That's the house Vicky's been talking about, isn't it?
That's right.
Vicky loves that house.
I know.
And... you're thinking about buying it?
Yes.
You and Vicky have been seeing quite a lot of each other lately.
Not often enough to suit me.
I'm glad to see you, Bert. I really am.
I found the keys and the deed.
Good.
But there's something strange about the deed.
What's that?
It's marked not for sale.
Oh. Well, does that mean you can't or won't sell the house?
No. I don't see any reason why we shouldn't.
Well,
I don't understand why it's marked not for sale.
You have no idea?
No, I don't know much about the house, only that it's been in the family for years and years.
Oh. Well, could we go and take a look at it?
Yes. Carolyn, Would you like to come with us? Might do you good to get out of the house for a while.
Why not? I'm curious to see the place. After all, Vicky has said about it.
Shall we go?
Could use a good airing out.
No one's been near this house for years. For years. I wonder why.
But it's lovely.
I like it.
There's a feeling about it. A warmth. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe it's the light from the ocean.
You were the one who said I'd be crazy to take it.
I know. And that was before I saw the inside. I love it, Bert. I can see why Vicky would, too.
Well, it was Vicky who saw it in the first place. She showed it to me.
I know.
You know, considering how old it is, it's in very good shape. It wouldn't need much work.
I think I'll take a look around.
Go ahead.
I can't believe all the rooms are this beautiful.
If I decided to buy it, Liz, what would your price be?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Well, all right. You think about it and let me know just as soon as possible.
Are you in that much of a hurry?
I don't like to waste time.
I'm surprised you're thinking of buying a place this large.
I like space.
Matter of fact, I'm surprised that you're buying a house at all. You don't seem like the kind of man who'd want the responsibility of a house.
Maybe I've changed. Maybe I've decided it wouldn't be so bad settling down.
Would you care to clarify that?
Is it necessary?
No.
Well?
Well, what?
You approve or disapprove?
Approve.
I'm glad to hear it.
You really care what I think?
Yes. In an odd way, I do care.
You continually surprise me, Bert.
You surprised me on several occasions.
Well, I was wrong.
About what?
Not as beautiful as this. That is the house that you're empty all these years.
It's a puzzle to me, too.
I have a confession to make.
What?
Bert, I don't share your enthusiasm about this house.
Well, why not?
I don't know exactly.
But, Mother, it's a beautiful house.
I know the architecture is beautiful, but there's something about it. There's a coldness here. Clamminess in the air.
That's only because it's so close to the ocean.
Perhaps. But I still don't like it.
Then maybe you won't be so hesitant to sell it.
No, I don't think so.
When are you going to tell me how much you want for it, Liz?
Oh, in a day or two.
Well, is it one day or two?
Why, you are in a hurry.
Maybe I have reason to be in a hurry.
And you don't remember anything that happened that night that I stayed here with you?
I don't know. Don't think so.
Maybe it's just as well that you don't remember.
Why? What happened?
Well, there was someone. Or something outside your window trying to get in.
You couldn't see who it was?
No, I couldn't see anything at all. But I could hear a terrible growling sound.
Growling?
Yes. I was terrified. I ran out here to call Bert. And when I came back, your door was locked. Finally, when Bert got here, we managed to break in and
When we found you, you were unconscious. It's incredible. And you don't remember anything at all about that?
No. Are you sure, Maggie?
Yes. It's driving me wild, Vicky. I've come so close to remembering everything. So close. And then memory just fades away. You probably will remember in time. I've got to. Maggie, you're safe now, and you're all right. That's all that matters.
I've got to remember, Vicky. I've got to.
Give yourself time. Time. Days and weeks of time have just disappeared out of my life. I have no idea what happened to me or where I've been. Can't remember one single place that I might have been.
I think I know of one place where you might have been.
You do?
Now, I'm not sure, but I thought I saw you once.
Where?
In the cemetery on Eagle Hill.
Cemetery?
I caught a glimpse of a girl. She looked just like you.
You're sure?
No, I can't say that I'm positive. She was quite far away, and I only saw her face for a second.
Didn't you call out to her?
No. It all happened so fast. And besides, we thought you were dead. And then Burke tried to convince me that it was just my imagination. Now I'm not so sure.
Burke was with you?
Yes.
He didn't see the girl?
No, he didn't. He tried to make me think that I didn't either.
Was she alone?
No. There was a woman with her.
Did you see who it was?
No, I only saw her back for a second. She never turned around.
But the girl did.
Yes,
and you thought it was me.
Well, Maggie, if it wasn't you, then it was someone who looks amazingly like you.
It was. What were they doing in a cemetery?
I don't know.
Why would anybody take me to a cemetery?
I don't know that either.
Go Hill. Cemetery.
Does that mean anything to you?
Does it, Maggie? No, I can't remember anything.
Well, maybe it wasn't you after all.
I don't know. What would I be doing in a cemetery? It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
What were you and Bert doing there?
Putting flowers on the grave of Josette Collins.
Josette Collins?
She was an ancestor of the Collins family. It was her birthday, and I wanted to put flowers on her grave.
Josette Collins?
Does that name mean something to you?
Josette.
Does it, Maggie? What is it? What's the matter?
I think I'm beginning to remember something. Not sure. Can you say that name again?
Josette Collins.
Josette.
Does that mean something to you?
Yes, it does.
But what?
No, I'm not sure, but it does mean something.
Maybe it means that you were in the graveyard, and you saw her name on the gravestone, and that's what you're remembering.
Grave.
Do you remember seeing a grave?
Yes. Grave. Coffin.
You saw a coffin?
Yes, I did see a coffin.
Where did you see the coffin?
I...
Take your time. Stay here, I'll get it.
Miss Winters?
Hoffman, what are you doing here?
Oh, I've come to see Mr. Evans.
I didn't know you knew each other.
Yes, we met the other day. He knows a great deal about the old families in this area. I thought he might give me some information.
I'm afraid he's out right now.
Oh. But would it be all right if I came in and waited?
Not at all.
Thank you.
You know Maggie Evans?
Yes. Yes, we met the other day. How are you, Miss Evans?
Fine.
The other day your father talked about some of his paintings. I wonder if I might look at them while I'm waiting.
Of course. They're over here.
Oh, don't let me disturb you. Go on with what you were doing.
Maggie, you were remembering something. What was it? Sure. You said that you were remembering a coffin. A grave. Grave? Was it the grave of Josette Collins? Josette? It must have been, because you wouldn't react that way every time I mentioned her name. Who is she? Tell me about her. She was a great lady who had a very tragic life. She was very much loved by the Collins family. Collins. Barnabas Collins has restored her room in the old house. Barnabas. He's restored all of her belongings in that room. They're all there, just the way they were when she was living. What is it, Maggie? Vicky, what is it?
Are you interested in antiques?
What did you say?
I said, are you interested in antiques and old jewelry?
Yes.
This is a family heirloom, this medallion.
Beautiful.
Why don't you look at it, too, Miss Evans?
It's beautiful.
My grandmother gave it to me. It's been passed down from generation to generation. Oh, Miss Winters, I wonder if I could trouble you for a cup of tea. The walk here was quite tiring.
Oh, I'll get it. No, Maggie, you stay here. Let me.
Here. Let me show you how the facets reflect the light. See how the colors sparkle and dance. Look at it closely. Deeply. Hear no other sound but my voice. See nothing but the tiny lights. You will remember nothing. Nothing from the time you went to sleep in your room until several weeks later when you awoke in Dr. Woodard's office. You will remember nothing. Nothing.
Lovely. Very unusual.
Yes. Yes, isn't it? Oh. How very nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vicky. Being waited on is going to spoil me. Maggie, what were you saying? You were starting to remember something.
Remembering?
Yes. You were remembering being in a graveyard.
Graveyard?
Yes, it was all starting to come back to you. What were you doing there?
Graveyard?
Maggie, why were you there? Please, try to think. Concentrate.
I am.
But it was all starting to come back to you. I could tell it was.
I can't remember.
But you were just so close to remembering.
Remember anything. Anything at all.
Thank you.
Dark Shadows is a Dan Curtis production.
It is nighttime at Collinwood, and a balmy breeze blows in from the sea. All seems peaceful and serene, as if a once turbulent world had reached some final peace, as if there is no terror in this night. But the seemingly serene darkness only serves to hide forces of terror and destruction.
I frightened you. I certainly must apologize.
Please don't. It was very silly of me to scream.
It can be a very alarming experience, having someone appear from the shadows without warning.
I don't see how anything could be alarming on a night like this.
It is a beautiful night, isn't it?
It's lovely.
Listen.
To what?
The silence.
Silence?
There's no sound at all. Except the sound of the ocean far away.
Yes.
I find it very soothing. Do you?
Very.
The world's at rest when the darkness falls. Everything seems to be at peace. Perhaps that's why I prefer the darkness to the daylight. The gentle rays of the moon to the violence of the sun.
I think I know what you mean.
Imagine what it would be like to exist only at night, only when the world is at peace. It would be a lifetime of moonlight.
That's very hard to imagine.
I may be an incredible romantic, but I find it very appealing. Very.
Yes, I imagine you would. A lifetime of moonlight.
And you? Would it appeal to you?
It might.
Would it?
Maybe. But then I'm an incredible romantic, too.
We have that in common.
Oh, were you looking for Mrs. Stoddard?
No, I was looking for you, Vicky.
For me?
I was going through some trunks today, and I found some more family histories. Very old and very rare. I thought you might like to come around to the house tonight and look at them.
I'd love to look at them, but...
You can't?
I'm afraid I have a date.
With Devlin?
Yes.
I see. Well, what about tomorrow night?
Oh, I'm afraid I have a date tomorrow night, too.
You and Devlin are seeing quite a bit of each other, aren't you?
Yes, I guess you might say that. Good evening.
Good evening, Miss Hoffman.
How are you, Miss Hoffman?
Oh, very well, thank you, Mr. Collins.
Did you find the books you were looking for?
Yes, but I got a little weary of footnotes. I came out to get a breath of fresh air. Isn't it a lovely night?
We were just saying the same thing, Miss Hoffman.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I think I'll go up and change for my date with her.
Of course.
Mr. Collins.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your invitation. And I would like to see those histories. May I do it some other time?
Certainly.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
You said you were going to leave her alone.
And I have.
What about inviting her to your house?
That's no concern of yours.
It will concern you if I decide not to cooperate with you.
You won't make that decision.
Oh, won't I?
No, because your experiments mean too much to you.
Yes. I'll do almost anything to continue them, but I won't sacrifice a human life.
There's no question of that. Miss Winters and I are only friends.
We can never be any more than friends. Never.
I'm fully aware of that.
That's good. Because Miss Winters has other interests.
What do you mean?
Burke Devlin.
What about?
Well, she's obviously in love with me.
It's absurd.
Is it?
A sensitive girl like Miss Winters could never fall in love with a man as crude as Burke Devlin.
I won't argue with you. Just stay away from Vicky. Do you understand me?
Yes, I understand.
I just wondered if there was anything I could do to help you get ready for your date.
Oh, that's very kind of you. There is something you can do.
Oh, what's that?
You can help me decide which dress to wear. I can't choose between these two.
This must be a very special date.
No, not really.
Well, perhaps any date with this particular gentleman is special.
Well, which one of these two?
I think I prefer the blue.
Yeah. Well, that's the one I was thinking of, too.
I haven't known you very long, but in the short time I have known you, I've come to be very fond of you.
Thank you, Miss Hoffman.
Oh, please, please call me Julia.
Julia. And I'm Vicky.
Vicky?
Yes?
Well, I don't want to presume, but I wonder if you'd mind if I gave you a bit of advice.
No, no. What is it?
Well, I couldn't help overhearing your conversation with Barnabas Collins on the terrace and his invitation to the old house.
Yes, he did invite me there. But what about it?
I think it would be wise if you didn't go.
Why?
Oh, because of Mr. Collins and the kind of man he is.
I don't understand.
Well, I've been working rather closely with Mr. Collins these past weeks, and I've gotten to know him fairly well. He's, how can I say, he's a very sensitive person.
Yes, he is, but...
Sensitive people are very easily hurt.
I still don't follow you.
Surely the situation should be obvious. Barnabas Collins is a bachelor and lonely. You're a young, attractive girl. Is it so hard to guess at what I'm hitting at?
You mean that he thinks of me as more than a friend?
Is that so unlikely?
Oh, I'm sure that you're wrong.
I assure you I'm not. I've observed enough to know that I am right.
But he's never given me any indication. He's always treated me as a friend.
Well, he finds it difficult then to show any feeling, but the feeling does exist.
Well,
I don't know what to say.
Well, you don't want to hurt him, do you?
No. I like him very much.
Then stay away from him. Don't let your relationship develop any further than it has. I really think it would be best for both of you.
Would you like a brandy?
Oh, I don't think so. Unless you would.
No.
You've been in a quiet mood all evening.
Have I? I'm sorry. I guess I just haven't had very much to say.
Oh, I have a good time with you, and neither one of us says a word.
So do I.
I think it's important for two people who care about each other to be able to share quiet moments.
It's true.
Oh, look.
What?
The Pleiades, see? That cluster of six very, very bright stars up there. See them?
Yes.
My father taught me the names of the stars when I was 7 years old. He taught me how to chart a boat with them.
What was your father like?
Huh? Oh, I don't know. Most people thought he wasn't worth very much, and I guess they were right, he wasn't. But he taught me the names of the stars. And I like to remember him that way.
That's a lovely way to remember him.
Is it? Well, he walked out on us when I was 9 years old. But then I guess I had a better break than he did.
Oh, I don't know about that. There were people at the foundling home who were very... They cared about me very much.
Oh, were there?
There were. There was one nurse in particular. Her name was Ina O'Donnell. She had an Irish brogue, and she laughed all the time. I adored her. She gave me a doll one Christmas. Oh, I loved that doll. I still have it.
Vicky.
Yes?
You know how I feel about you, don't you?
Well, I'm not sure.
You must be.
I guess I am.
And you?
Do I have to say?
You don't have to say a single word. Because I know. Such a long time. Strange.
What, Luke?
It's just about a year since I came back here. And the only thing that I had on my mind was the destruction of the Collins family. The little governess didn't figure in on my plans. I tried awfully hard to ignore you, Vicky.
I know.
But I couldn't. I couldn't get you off my mind.
It was the same way with me, Rick.
Was it?
Right from the start.
I never thought I'd find someone like you. But now that I have, I'll never let you go. Not ever.
Mm-hmm.
suppose so.
I was saying that 10 minutes ago.
I know.
Is you up tomorrow? At 7.
At 7.
Good night. Oh, excuse me.
It's all right.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were here. Please forgive me. I was just taking these books of the Cullen family history back to the library.
How's the research coming along?
Oh, very well. Vicky's been very helpful in finding material for me.
Not as much as I'd like to be.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, it's all right. Burke was just leaving and I was on my way upstairs.
As a matter of fact, I wanted to talk to you, Miss Hoffman.
Oh?
About your book.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll say goodnight to you now. I'll see you tomorrow.
Good night. Tomorrow.
Good night.
Good night. Shall we go in here?
Fine.
Oh, Vicky's a lovely girl.
She certainly is.
Well, what did you want to say about my book?
Well, actually, I didn't want to speak to you about your book.
Oh?
No, it's about Vicky.
About Vicky.
You said she was helping you with your book. And as I said before, I don't think she should be involved. Vicky is a girl with a very vivid imagination. She's very fascinated with it, with the legends of Collinwood. And they tend to make her imagination even more vivid. Make it run wild. Now, twice, Vicky has imagined things that didn't exist. Once at the old house, she imagined she saw the figure of a little girl at the top of the stairs. And later on, she imagined she heard little girls singing in an empty room. Now, it seems to me that sort of thing is very bad for her. She should be living in the present.
The present meaning you?
Yes. Yes. If you like.
I'm in complete agreement with you.
You are?
I realize that Vicky tends to get overstimulated in working with me. I don't think she should be encouraged to work with me. I'll do my best to discourage her.
Well, I'm surprised. I thought you'd want her to work with you.
Oh, not if working with me hurts Vicky. I care about Vicky. I've become very fond of her.
Well, that makes two of us.
I'll do my best to keep her away from the family legends and the Collins history and the old house.
Well, I'm very glad to hear that. And I'm grateful for your cooperation.
You have my complete cooperation.
Well, I won't keep you any longer.
Well, good night, Mr. Dedlock.
Good night, Miss Hoffman. Thank you.
It is dusk, and the fiery afternoon sun that warmed the walls of Collingwood is disappearing beyond the horizon. Soon night will fall. There is a terror in the lengthening shadows, but as yet it is unknown. No one at Collingwood senses the danger that awaits within the night.
A beautiful sunset, isn't it?
Yes, beautiful.
You look very nice. Do you have a date with Mr. Devlin tonight?
Yes.
I had a nice chat with him last evening. I think he's a very interesting man.
He is. Miss Hoffman.
Julia, please.
Julia. Do you know anything about dreams?
Not much. Why?
Well, I had the strangest dream last night. It's been bothering me all day.
What was it?
I dreamt that someone was in my room.
In your room?
Yes, and I was in some kind of danger. But the oddest part is that I wasn't afraid.
Why not?
I don't know, but I just wasn't. Do you think it means anything?
I'm not qualified to say, but most people have dreams that they can't interpret.
Well, I have a feeling that this was more than a dream. I think someone actually was in my room.
Why?
Because when I woke up, the lid of my music box was open, and it was playing. And when I went to sleep, it was closed.
Why would anyone go into your room in the middle of the night?
I don't know. But I think that someone was there. And that frightens me.
Any sense. Why would anybody go into your room in the middle of the night?
I don't know.
Unless perhaps it was David and he came in and opened the music box with a practical joke.
No, he said he didn't, and I believe him.
Have you asked Carolyn or Mrs. Stoddard about it?
I don't want to worry.
Do you know what it was?
What?
I think you did it yourself. You opened the music box.
No, I would have remembered that.
Haven't you ever done anything when you were half asleep and then you didn't remember it later?
Yes.
I'm sure that's what it was.
Well, it is the only logical explanation.
I'm sure you have nothing to worry about.
I'm not worried. It's just strange, that's all.
I'm sure it was nothing.
Hello, Nicole.
Oh, Mrs. Stoddard.
How are you coming along with your research?
Oh, the work's progressing very well. I have another appointment with Mr. Collins today.
You've been spending quite a bit of time down at the old house.
Oh, he's been very helpful. Well, I'd better get to work.
Of course.
David?
Vicky. I just had a phone call from Bert.
Oh?
He's made a firm offer on the Seaview property.
He has? Are you going to sell it to him?
Yes. Barring any legal complications, I have to speak to my lawyers before giving him a definite answer.
I see.
But I don't think there will be any complications. I have a feeling that Bert will be the new owner of that house within a matter of a few days. Are you pleased?
Very.
I thought you would be.
Why didn't you come on that first call?
Well, I got here as quick as I could.
Well, did you do as I instructed?
Yes.
Well?
I watched the house all day long. Devlin didn't go near it, and Miss Winters didn't go out.
Well, they have a date this evening. I want you to follow them. I want a full report on everything they do and everything they say.
I can't get close enough to overhear their conversation without getting caught. It's just as impossible.
Make it possible.
Well, I'll try.
You know, Willie, I don't accept excuses. Now you have your instructions. Carry them out.
You're afraid, aren't you?
Afraid?
Of losing it to him. To death?
I'm not afraid of anything.
You might as well accept it, Barnabas.
Accept it?
You're gonna lose it.
What?
She's in love with Devlin, I can tell.
You can you? It would be very easy for me to kill you, Willie. Remember, the next time you offer an opinion, it may well be your last.
All right.
Get out of here. What does that mean?
It means the injections are beginning to take effect. The structure of your blood is beginning to change.
You still think you can cure me?
Well, I'm more confident than ever of a complete cure. If you continue to respond to treatment the way you have been.
And if I don't?
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. How do you feel?
All right.
Then sit down and let me check your heartbeat. Good. Ah, I didn't dream we'd have this success so soon.
You really consider your experiments a success?
Certainly. They've been very successful.
I wonder.
What?
Oh, nothing.
What were you going to say?
I wonder what life would be like if you could change me.
You don't trust me very much, do you?
I admit at first I was skeptical.
And now?
I don't know.
I expected skepticism initially, but it will fade away in time.
A normal man. To be able to live the life of a normal man. What would it be like?
The isolation and loneliness you know now will be gone.
The loneliness. Yes, I have been lonely.
You'll be free to live among other men again. To give and accept love.
Yes.
It's what you want, isn't it?
I want happiness, as all living creatures do.
You'll have your chance if I can cure you.
You must cure me.
Oh, I'll do everything in my power to, but you must cooperate with me. Which reminds me, you broke your word to me.
Broke my word?
You were in Vicky's room last night.
Was I?
Now, don't deny it. You know it's true.
How do you know?
She said she dreamt that someone was in her room. It wasn't a dream. You were there.
But how can you be sure?
Because the lid of the music box was open, and it had been closed when she went to sleep.
Really?
So, someone was in her room, and no one could have been there but you.
Perhaps not.
Don't deny it, do you?
No, why should I?
Why were you in her room?
I merely wanted to look at her.
Is that all?
Yes.
I know what you were doing there. I know what you were planning to do there. I know what you are.
I admit to the temptation, but I withstood it.
This must never happen again. Do you understand? The risk is too great.
But nothing did happen.
But it could have. Suppose you were found in her room. How would have you explained your appearance there?
Fortunately, there was no necessity to explain anything.
But it could happen the next time, and there must be no next time. Do you understand? Stay away from Vicky.
I'm not used to taking orders.
In this case, you must do as I say. If anything happened to Vicky, everyone would ask questions. And you and I would have a hard time finding the answers. They would find everything out. If you want to survive, if you want to live a normal life, stay away from Vicky. Is that clear?
Yes.
I don't know if I can trust you anymore.
Unfortunately, we must trust each other. Neither one of us has any other choice.
It's a wonderful evening.
It was for me, too.
But then, every evening with you turns out to be wonderful.
I feel the same way.
Do you?
Brooke, you know I do.
There was a lot I wanted to say tonight, but I wanted to wait until we were alone to say it.
Well, we're alone now.
Yes. Vicky, I have a surprise for you. I put in a bid for that house on the beach. I think Liz is going to sell it to you.
I know. She told me. Oh, Burke, I want you to have that house. It'll be a perfect home for you.
You know why I want it, don't you?
Because you love that house as much as I do.
I want it for you.
For me?
I want it to be our home.
Our home.
I love you, Vicky. I want you to marry me.
Burke.
You're so surprised. Haven't you been expecting this? You know how I feel about you.
Yes.
And I think you feel the same way.
I do.
Well, then, what's your answer? Vicky, I love you.
Burke, I love you too so much.
And you will marry me.
I don't know. There's so much to think about.
What is there to think about?
There are a million things that... Is it David? I can't leave him.
Well, Liz can find another governess. You can see David.
Oh, it's not the same. I've gotten so close to him. And then it's the rest of the Collins family. They've become like my own family. Especially Mrs. Stoddard.
Vicki, you're going to have to leave me someday.
I know, but... Right now, I need some time to think.
All right. But not too much time. Remember, I'm a very impatient man.
I haven't forgotten.
I'll ask you again tomorrow. And the next day. And the day after that. Until you break down and say yes.
All my life, I've been searching for some clue to my identity. If I marry you, I'll have an identity. I'll know who I am.
You'll be Mrs. Burt Depp.
Yes. In a strange way. My search will be over.
We don't see enough of you.
Well, I'm afraid business matters has taken up far too much of my time. One of these days, I hope to do something to amend that.
Are you still thinking of starting a shipbuilding business here?
I'm still considering the possibility.
Well, if I can be of any help, let me know.
As always, you're very kind. Thank you.
Not at all.
Oh, by the way, speaking of business...
Yes?
Did you decide to sell the beach property to Burke Devlin?
Yes, barring any legal complications.
I see.
Why do you ask?
Oh, no reason. It's just that I took quite a fancy to that house. In a way, it seems a shame to let it go out of the family.
We really have no use for it, and Burke is determined to have it. He's paying a handsome sum for it.
Why do you suppose that he wants such a large house?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I have my suspicion.
Oh?
Burke has been seeing a lot of Vicky, and she loved that house.
Are you suggesting the possibility of a marriage between Miss Winters and Devlin?
It wouldn't surprise me if Burke asked Vicky to marry him.
Well, surely Miss Winters wouldn't consider marriage.
But why not? Well, she's a sensible girl, and if she wants to get married, I'm sure she'll make a good wife.
Then you're not opposed to the possibility of a marriage?
No. If he wants to marry him, I see no reason to object.
Then you plan to encourage the marriage?
I don't plan to encourage or discourage. I want Vicky to do whatever makes her happy.
I see.
Is there any reason why you think I shouldn't feel this way?
No, of course not. Well, it's getting rather late and I'd better be going. Good night, Liz.
Good night, Barnabas. I'll see you tomorrow.
Barnabas?
Told me to. I followed him.
What happened?
I followed them to a restaurant on the bay. I couldn't go inside because I didn't want them to see me.
In other words, you didn't hear any of the conversation?
Oh, no, no. I heard plenty later, back at the house. See, they went out on the terrace. And I hid in the shadows. I heard every word they said.
What did they say?
He asked her to marry him.
Marry
him? That's right. He proposed.
What did she say?
She said she needed time to think.
Then perhaps she won't accept.
No, I don't think so.
What makes you so sure?
From the way she talked. You might as well face it, Barnabas. You lost her. She's going to marry Devlin.
There will be no marriage.
What do you mean?
Just that. There will be no marriage. Devlin won't live to claim Miss Winters as his bride. Bert Devlin must die.
Have a good evening and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby. Ha 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 ha!